As we come together on this morning, thanking God for another blessed day, allowing us to come together this morning to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are going to look at the topic this morning, does the Lord know you? Does the Lord know you? Brother Fair used to always say this from time to time when individuals would say that they know the Lord. And he would ask them, does the Lord know you? And that is a question that needs an answer. Does the Lord know you? Yes, you are sitting here this morning. You've come to worship God. But does God know you? Where is your mind right now? Are they focused on what God would have you to do? How is your walk with Him? Or are you walking the way you're supposed to walk? Have you been immersed in the watery grave of baptism to put Christ on in order for Him to know you? When we look at the Bible talks about knowing somebody. You can look at that in one or two ways. You can look at it as Adam knew his wife and she conceived. Or you can look at it as God knowing you by your obedience unto Him. And that is what we are looking at this morning, is our obedience unto God. In order for God to know you, you need to be, again, let me stop right there before I say something and someone say, no, that's wrong. God knows the good and the bad. But knowing Him deals with you behaving in a manner that He is pleased with, that He accepts. That is what we are going to focus on this morning. Do you know God? And ask yourself, how do you know Him? How do you know Him? How did you get to know Him? Brother DeMille, have you ever met someone on your job and you began to talk to them just for a little while and you walked off and someone came back and asked you, do you know them? And you would say, well, I just met them. Well, do you really know them? You let them ride with you home. Do you really know them? You let them into your house, but do you really know them? We've had individuals to come by to visit someone's home. Not necessarily mine, but someone else's home. And as they were sitting there, they were looking around at all the things that they had. And when that person went to bed that night, someone came back and they stole some things. Did he really know them? Sometimes the people that we think are our friends are really not our friends. They're just out to get us. And they got from him exactly what they wanted to get. When you're talking about knowing God, talking about knowing the Lord, you may make the statement, He came into my heart. How did He come into your heart? How did He come into your heart? You know, people say that I prayed and I asked Him to come into my heart. Is that how He tells us to get to know Him? Is that how He tells us to put Him on? That you pray and ask Him to come into your hearts? He lifted my burden of sin. Well, what was your burden of sin that He lifted from you? I believe Ananias told Saul, Saul, arise and let the Lord lift your burden of sin. It's not what He told him, is it? In Acts 22:16. Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So how does God know you? At a personal experience. Let me tell you something about a personal experience. God allowed each one of our mothers to give birth to have us. That's a personal experience. But to say that you have had a personal experience and that's how you have gotten to know God,
Maybe you was in an accident and he allows you to live. That's the personal experience you're talking about. Maybe you almost got hit by a car. You did get hit by that car and he allows you to live. Is that the personal experience you're talking about? Again, the Bible doesn't talk about having a personal experience to get to know God. He gave me a wonderful feeling. What was that wonderful feeling that he gave you? And people will argue every last one of these points and say, you don't know because you don't know God. You don't know what he has done for me. And you know what? I may not know what he has done for you. But I do know how he tells each one of us and even others how to get to know him. We study the word to get to know him. Once we become one of his children, we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do what God tells us to do. So what I want to know, if this is how, with these questions with here, he came into my heart, how did he come into your heart? He lifted my burden. How did he lift your burdens? You had a personal experience? How or what personal experience did you have? Well, he gave me a wonderful feeling. What was that wonderful feeling? You know what we need? We need some Bible. That's what we need. We need some Bible. Can you give me Bible? You know, there may be someone sitting here this morning that has had some of these things or said that you have had some of these things. We need some Bible. Give us some Bible and let us teach somebody. God came into this person's heart and here's the scripture that says he came into your heart. Give me some Bible. We're talking New Testament, my friends. We're not talking Old Testament. We're talking New Testament. Give us some Bible that tells how God came into your heart or how he lifted your burden of sin, how you had this personal experience with him or how he gave you a wonderful feeling. Scripture, please. You know, when you say please, it makes it all the better, doesn't it? It makes someone want to give you what they have in order that you may understand what they're going through or what they've gone through. Please. I sometimes when we go out to eat and, you know, or even through the drive-through, and it's just good manners, I suppose, where someone say, may I have this or may I have that? And my reply is, if you have the money, you can get what you want. But it's just being nice to people, isn't it? That's all it is, just being nice to people. But when you say please in conjunction with these things right here, it doesn't matter how nice you are to that person. That person cannot give you one scripture reference. Not one scripture reference. And that's what we bank on here as we teach God's word. That's what people say. Oh, you're part of the Church of Christ, right? You want book, chapter, and verse. Yes, we want book, chapter, and verse because God has given us book, chapter, and verse. On how to obtain salvation. On how Jesus knows us. Oh, that just popped up there, didn't it? Well, we're going to do it all anyway. The Lord doesn't know everybody that claims to be one of his children. Believe this, God doesn't know some of the people that are gathered here this morning. Why? Because you're gathered here for the wrong reason. You're not here to serve him. You're not here to worship God. You're here because maybe someone, you know, brought you here. Told you to get out of bed and get dressed and let's go to worship God. That's why you're here, but you really don't want to be here. Your mind is somewhere else. There are some preachers that God does not know. There are some elders that God does not know. Some deacons, some church members that God does not know. And why does he not know them? Because everything that those individuals are doing may not be for the right reasons. So we go and we look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, the scripture that Brother Francis read earlier, and understand just because you're doing some things doesn't mean that God knows you. Even with how they tried to explain to Jesus what they had done. For Jesus makes this claim in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. All right? Where does that put you this morning? The Bible teaches us that we're supposed to assemble together. That we come together to provoke one another to love and good works according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another more as you see the day approaching, verse 25. So why are you here? Is it because of what the Scripture says? Because you want to be obedient unto God's Word? I have to go to worship today because it is a command. Yes, it's a command. But if you come with the wrong attitude, you might as well stay home. If you give with the wrong attitude, you might as well keep it. Because God doesn't want your service if you don't want to give it to Him. He's not making anybody do anything. From the very beginning, He gave a command unto Adam. Adam passed that command to Eve, and both, the Bible says that Eve was in transgression, but the man took of that fruit as well. The man was punished as well. So both of them did wrong, and God punished both. Just because we say that we're in the presence of God doesn't mean that what we're doing, God is accepting. He says there in verse 22, the people on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name? And do many mighty works in your name. Just throwing the word of the name of God around. We did doing this in the name of the Lord. Everybody, as you travel up and down Broadway on today, everybody that's worshiping, using God's name, what they're doing may not be acceptable unto God. From this place, which is the first place of worship on Broadway, all the way down to the East End. Many places of worship, in every last one of those places, is not acceptable unto God. Some may be, but a lot is not acceptable to God. For this is what Christ says with people that are talking about doing things in His name. And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of lawlessness. Never knew you. That's a sad, sad feeling. To go to somebody wanting help from them and they telling you, I don't know you. Or going to visit someone, an old friend, and you knock on the door and they come to the door and they say, I don't know you. How does that make you feel? Or even your own spouse, your children. You're talking to them, but they don't know you. That is a bad feeling. A bad feeling. I remember traveling from 1986 to 1994 and then some years after going back to Texas to visit. And the first person I would call would be my grandmother. I would give her a call and talk to her for a little while and until the time came when I called early one morning and she was still sleeping. It took a lot out of me. It made me think about life and how precious life is and how people will grow old and their bodies will wear out. And then that time will come even when they say, I don't know you. I don't know you. Our God is not getting any older. His mind is sharp. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. But that time is going to come when He's going to tell somebody somewhere that I do not know you. And depart from me, ye workers of lawlessness. And it's just not, you know, telling your child, get out of my sight. I don't want anything to do with you because you have been misbehaving. That's not what this is about. It's about being cast into outer darkness, a place of no return because you said you were doing something in the name of the Lord, but yet you did not have God first. God wasn't even on your mind. It was to satisfy self and self only. So we need to examine that, and we need to say, I'm doing these things, but is God pleased with me? Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Many fail to make proper preparation. Oh, we prepare for some things, but a lot of times that preparation is not according to what God wanted to be. You need children, young people, even some of the older folk go to school. And they get to school and the teacher say, how many of you has done the assignment that I gave you? Well, one or two may raise their hand. But the rest are just there. They're waiting on somebody to give them all the answers. They're waiting on someone, pass me your paper or make a copy of your paper and let me cheat off of yours. That's not preparing for what this life has to offer us or what we are going to encounter in this life or even the life to come. We have to do what's right before God. So he says here in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Eternal fire. A fire that would never go out. Hell wasn't prepared for you and I. But guess what? There are some that are going to go there because not being prepared. He says in verse 42, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. I went to worship on Sunday morning. I sung hymns. I was edifying the next man sitting next to me. I was doing what you wanted me to do. Lord, I even gave back a portion of that which you allowed me to prosper. See, here within these walls is not just all we need to be doing. There's a lot of other things that we need to be doing. And if you're not doing those things, you're not pleasing to God. And here's the people again. Then they also will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? When? We don't know what we're looking at, do we? We don't know who we're looking at, do we? We don't know who we're helping, do we? And he says, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment. Away into eternal punishment. The one that is not helping anybody else out. But we help those in the church, do we not? Sometimes. You know, I went to Galatians 6:10 this morning. Therefore, as you have opportunity, you do good unto all men, especially those in the household of faith. So we help those in the church, but what about those out there in the world? What about that man that's asking for something to eat? And I tell you from time to time about the people that I encounter that they're asking for something to eat, asking for a handout. One man at Dino's Chicken, it's really not called Dino's Chicken, it's a gas station or a little convenience store, but they also sell chicken, it's Dino's Chicken. And a man standing out there asking for some Taco Bell. I say, you're at the wrong place if you want Taco Bell. They sell chicken in here. And that's what I'm going to get. And when I come back out, I'll give you some chicken. And he said, I don't want that. I want Taco Bell. But when I get back outside, he's still standing there. And I said, do you want this chicken? And he looked at me funny. And he says, yes. Let me tell you something. You never know who you're helping. But do not help somebody with something that you don't have. I had chicken. I didn't have Taco Bell. God has something to offer us, and that is eternal life if we do what we're supposed to do.
The Lord doesn't know those who deny Him. Those that deny Him. How many denies who Jesus is? You know, we run up against those people all the time and say, He was just another prophet. No, not my God. Not just another prophet. The prophet. He's the one that knew all things. He's the one that told about His coming. He's the one that did what He talked about. He's the one that is coming back. But those that deny Him, those that say that they don't know Him, look what the Bible says. In Matthew chapter 10, and the verse is 33. But whoever denies me before men, I also would deny him before my Father who is in heaven. You ever try to get in with somebody else into a football game or something like that? Oh, I'm with such and such right there. And sometimes they say, come on in. And then sometimes they say, I don't care. You still need a ticket. But Brian, how many times have you ever tried to get in on somebody else's name? You don't even answer that. I've tried it a couple of times. And it don't work. It don't work all the time. Sometimes it might. Sometimes people will say, you know, you need to play that preacher card. There's no such thing as a preacher card. You must run to get embarrassed. Sometimes I try to use that veterans thing. I'm a veteran, as they say, we don't care. We don't give veteran discounts around here or military discounts. But look what the Bible says here in reference to Jesus talking about us. When we do not do what we're supposed to do, when we deny who He is, look what the Bible says. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. That says something about us. That says that when someone says, do you know Jesus? They need to be asking you that question because you are doing what you're supposed to do. You know, they come to you and they ask you, will you pray for me? Because they know that you know the Lord. They come to you and ask you to do something for them because they know that you know what you're supposed to be doing in order to be pleasing to God. And yes, they're going to use you. You know what Jesus tells us on that reference there? When they use you, He said, pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for them. They don't get used all the time, but get used some of the time. Do what you're supposed to do. But when they come to you and they say you're supposed to be a Christian, it is saying that you may not be doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not showing Christ in your life. He says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And when you do not allow your light to shine, Jesus does not know you. You're denying who He is. So we need to look at our lives and we need to be telling people about Jesus. We need to be telling people about God. We need to be telling them about the Holy Spirit, how He gave men this word to write down that we may live by it. Amen. Do you know God? Does the Lord know you? And again, we're looking at these things and we're examining these things. And you know, there are times where, again, we're calling on the name of the Lord and we're always asking Him for things, but we're never thanking Him for anything. But you know, He's all-knowing. All-knowing. Look what the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Look what the Bible says. You ever told your children, don't talk to me? I don't want to hear anything from you. You've been misbehaving. I don't want to hear anything from you. Don't talk to me. Go to your room. Think about what you have done. Look what Jesus says. Why calleth me Lord, Lord, and do not the things
that I tell you. You do not do what I tell you. So why are you calling on Him? You know why we call on the Lord? Because we want something. We've gotten ourselves into trouble. We're in a fix, and we need to get out of this fix. We're in a mud puddle. We're sinking in quicksand. And we need somebody to throw us a lifeline. Jesus says, why call me? You have not been doing what I told you to do. But that's just the way we are. You know, some people do not hear from their children until their children need something. I called my dad one day. Well, actually, I did not call him. I was sitting there talking to him. And I asked him for something. And Tim, maybe this is where I get it from. I asked him for something, and I very seldom would ever ask my dad for anything unless I really needed it. And he turned me down cold. I was so mad, upset. But you know what? I'm still here today. I survived. I got over it. I love my dad. And I learned something from that. That every time we're asking for something, it's not necessary that we need what we're asking for. But when we call on the name of the Lord, we want an answer. We want a reply. But we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing in order to get what He has in store for us. See, there are some times where my dad would just give me something. I asked for something and he gave it to me. And one day my mom said, hey, you remember that check that you sent back to your dad? I want you to listen to this. This was early one Sunday morning. And all I could hear was paper turning in the background. I said, what's that? She said, that's that check that you sent back to your dad. I said, good. I was thankful for that. When God gives us something, are we thankful for it? Or are we looking at what He has done for us, and when we call on His name, we know that He's going to answer because we are keeping His commandments? Or are we going to hear this right here because He don't know us? You know, you read the rest of that, and it tells us what we need to be doing. We build on a solid foundation. We're building on the name of Christ. We're putting Him first in our lives, and we're making sure that everybody knows it. We're not out there bragging. We're not out there boasting. We're not out there tooting our own horns. People are doing that because they know who we are because of what we are doing. Let's continue to do what's right. Those who will be on His left hand. We've already read that. On the left hand. Those are the wicked people. Those are those that have misbehaved. Those are the ones that Jesus does not know because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. How many Christians do you know that are not doing what they're supposed to do? You call them in the middle of the night and they say, I don't have time for you. But when they call you, they want you to make time. They don't never have time. You need something to wear. You need something to drink. You need something to eat. And they can't help you. Jesus says, if you didn't do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. So those are the ones on the left. Those that are going to be cast out into eternal darkness. Let us do what's right. On this evening, we're going to talk about the ones that God does know. Are you in that number? Does God know you? If so, I would hope that you would come back to get to see what you need to be doing or what you're doing that God knows you. And then you may find out as you looked at some of these that God doesn't know you, but you want Him to know you. But come back this evening and find out what you need to do in order for God to know you. Well, what can I do in order to get what you have? What can I do in order to get to the place where you are? What can I do to get the blessings of God? What can I do? If you're here this morning, the first thing you can do if you're not a child of God is to come forth and make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The second thing that you need to do is go down into the watery grave of baptism to have your sins washed away. And the third and final thing that you need to do is be faithful to the things that God tells you to do until you die. Only three things, but it takes a lifetime to complete them. The first two are very simple. And the last one, you're going to be working on it, doing it until you die. Are you willing? Are you willing? If you're here and you're not a child of God, make that decision this morning to become one. If you are a child of God and you're straight away, come back to the fold. Make that confession. Get your life right. Do what's right before others. Do what's right before Him. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.